Team USA gymnast Suni Lee won the gold today in the women's all-around, a stunning moment for the first Hmong American ever to compete on a U.S. Olympic team, and a continuation of the American hold on the title after Simone Biles decided this week not to go for it herself. Simone Biles won in 2016, but shocked the world when she withdrew first from the team finals on Tuesday.
I just felt like it would be a little bit better to take a back seat, work on my mindfulness, and I knew that the girls would do an absolutely great job, and I didn't want to risk the team a medal for kind of my screw-ups because they've worked way too hard for that. So I just decided that those girls need to go in and do the rest of the competition.
Then she also pulled out of the individual all-around, saying she had to focus on her mental health. Well, sports psychologist Dr. Carlin Anderson is here. She's not treating Simone Biles, but wants people to understand the pressure gymnasts are under. Dr. Anderson, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
First, and we'll keep repeating it, you are not treating Simone Biles. You are not her doctor, but you're watching from the sidelines with your expertise.
Right.
As she said very calmly that she was shaking before the workouts the day of the team competition, she could barely nap. She had never felt like this before going into a competition. And then she concluded after that scary bobble on the vault, you know, the mental's not there. Again, you're not her doctor, but talk universally. What were you hearing there?
Yeah, well, gosh, my heart really goes out to Simone. I can really empathize with the amount of pressure and stress that is on her. And actually, in fact, I think has probably been building and just being layered on, not just in recent months or this last year of a pandemic and the delay of the Olympics, but actually for years, having also been, you know, her sharing that she's been a survivor of the Larry Nassar abuse and all of that. And so here she is with such high expectations of herself, of the team, of being one of the greatest athletes of all time. And just the weight of that is extremely heavy. And, you know, I think one thing that maybe hasn't been articulated very well, but a lot of acrobatic sports and certainly gymnasts can appreciate, would be the mental side of a sport like gymnastics, where, you know, you have to be so precise and exact with your attention and your focus. Otherwise, the consequences can be quite dire. And for someone like Simone Biles, who is doing these huge, dangerous, very dangerous skills, the stakes are, they're tremendous. Like if she misses the timing by a split second, we're watching her land on her neck, right? And she could die. I mean, really catastrophic. And even the commentator sort of said, you know, it looks like she sort of lost her air sense or kind of got lost in the air. All acrobatic athletes will relate to that experience. And it's terrifying. It's sort of like the yips, maybe, in best comparison I can think of in golf or baseball, where you feel like you're doing the throw or, you know, the putt exactly right, but your body physically just doesn't do it the way you want it to do, even though it feels like you're doing what you always do. And when you're doing a scary skill like Simone, that's horrifying. That's extremely frightening to think, well, it felt right, but like I only twisted once when I thought I twisted twice. Wait a second, what? And all of a sudden you get this questioning of feeling like you can't trust yourself. You don't feel confident. It feels very scary.
Well, former gymnast and diver Catherine Burns wrote about this. She calls it the dreaded twists. You know, she says when you're flipping or twisting, it's disorienting to the human brain. When training new flips, you need external cues. You know, the coach yells at you, out. This is when you come out of that twist. And then maybe you can develop the neural pathways that create kinesthesia. But what about, you know, the shaking hands and the, do you see physical manifestation of this kind of mental stress?
Yes. And so that's what I was going to add, is that our bodies do respond to psychological stress in very physical ways, right? We get very common term is that fight, flight, or freeze response, where our heart rate starts going, our breathing gets faster, we get jittery or shaky, we might have urges to pee. I think it has to be lassoed and harnessed, if you will, to use it for performance, because it can be challenging. Sometimes with acrobatic sports, it can really mess it up.
This is huge, but there's so much else going on here. This sport, gymnastics in particular, has gone through terrible convulsions. We know many of them. You have the charges against John Gettert, who was the well-known gymnastic coach, charged with sexual assault, abuse of minors, human trafficking. He took the 2012 Olympic team to a gold medal, killed himself after those charges. You have top coaches like Maggie Haney, who were accused of being too tough, and she's apologized. She said, I used to push some of my young gymnasts to do a routine over and over and over after even the tiniest mistakes. Ollie Raisman sued the famed Karolyi gymnast camp, Bella Karolyi. That's where Dr. Larry Nassar was. And we now know he abused so many of these young girls, including Simone Biles, who said at the time that when it was happening, she would just sleep because that was better than offing herself. There are a lot of cars on the train behind this engine. There's a lot that might have banged up against her, do you
Really
think?
intense, really intense forms of trauma. And to expect anyone to go through that type of prolonged trauma as well. We're all human, and even the greatest gymnast of all time is human. I think she said in one of her interviews, she didn't have one of the first times I think she's competing without her parents. And I do think we know from research that social support is a big component of being able to be resilient in the face of adversity. And I can't even fathom what it's like for these Olympic athletes to not have their normal pillars of social support, family. I just really give her a lot of credit and a whole bunch of maturity as the expert on herself to have a voice, to listen to herself, and to have the courage to do what she needed to do for herself. And I think we need to honor a bit more, probably as a society and culture, but certainly in the sport of gymnastics, that coaches are telling them to do something. And largely the sport is very structured and strict at times in the training, sometimes for safety purposes. You can't be goofing around and go do a skill because you could land on your head, while at the same time acknowledging that they do have voices. They do need to be taught how to listen to themselves and listen to their bodies if something hurts, to not just train through it all the time.
Right-wing media conservatives just piled on, calling her a quitter, a selfish sociopath, a shame to her country. She's obviously the headline right now, but Naomi Osaka pulled out of some tennis tournaments because she just felt she needed to address her mental health. Is it going to be tougher on the women, especially the women of color, because criticism usually is?
Right. And the tolerance for, quote, mistakes or not meeting expectations, the wiggle room is much less. I've actually, in fact, heard that from many of the athletes I work with of color, that they feel as though they have to be perfect because they don't have as much grace to make mistakes as maybe their white counterparts.
What would you say to parents now whose little girls, going to the local gymnastics teaching area, looking up at Simone Biles, of course, adoring her? But also, these parents might be worried about what Simone Biles is teaching us right now, which is that this can be a tough, tough sport.
Yeah, very much so, Robin. I actually have two little girls that are 6 and 8. We've had this conversation about Simone Biles already because they watched and wondered what happened. And I think these are really wonderful opportunities to message to children that everything in life we do doesn't always go the way we expect or others expect, and that they're growth opportunities, they're opportunities to learn and to get better and to gain insight. And really, at the end of the day, that's really the purpose of sport, particularly with children.
Can you tell us the words that you used with a 6-year-old? I mean, yeah, what did you say?
I told them that sometimes, we can get really overwhelmed and scared. They both get that. And that, you've got to listen to yourself and communicate to those who love you and are around you what you feel you need. And Simone just didn't feel safe being able to do her skills that day because she felt anxious and that her team was going to back her up and support her. And I thought it was so cool that she rallied and she was on the floor with them, cheering them, doing what they needed, and was a real leader. And I also stressed that to my kids as well.
Yeah, not just then, but in the press conference, where she was so strong, saying, "Yeah, the mental wasn't there." I mean, that's something that parents can point out as well. This isn't not, it's not to be ashamed of. This will make you stronger.
Absolutely. And then that mental toughness, the maybe traditional way we think about it, where I've got to be gritty and resilient and not make any mistakes under pressure, while that may be a component and at times mental toughness, so is the acknowledging what you need and keeping yourself safe and leading and honoring your emotions and being vulnerable and open. That's also tremendous mental strength and takes a lot of courage.
Sports psychologist Dr. Carlin Anderson, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.